These are the members of the portfolio committee. There will be others coming as they come. They will get introduced. I am Dikele Magazi, the person of this portfolio committee. How we're going to be working, I'm sure you've got the problem in front of you. We will request the team leader to introduce the team, and if that team leader will be the person who's dealing with the subject matter, you just ride on, brother. And at the end of the presentation, members will engage with the team that will be in front of us. The host city, the mother city, will be the one who will be starting with their presentation. City of Cape Town, I don't know who's the leader of the delegation. You will introduce yourself and introduce the team and start the presentation. Probably it's kind of a welcome to all the other cities that have visited the portfolio committee. I've welcomed them, but in my indigenous language, we say Shabola Mueng. I'm not going to translate that, but it means just that. Thank you very much. You can start. Thank you, sir. You can start.
Good morning, Chairperson and Portfolio Committee members. Thank you for this invite. Just as an introduction, we got two officials from the City of Cape Town. My name is Gershwin Fortune, and I'm heading our delegation. I'm the official responsible for integrated transport for the City of Cape Town. And then to my right is Mr. Peter Gray, and he's on the business planning side within our transport authority. That's our team. Our commissioner, Ms. Melissa Whitehead, is in the area. But I'm responsible for transport. If she's required, she is available to attend. So it's apologies for her side, but I've been tasked and delegated to head up the transport team from the City of Cape Town. May I have the seat, Chair? Okay, so I've got about 30 slides. I'll take it in about 35 minutes as per your direction, Chair, and I'm not quite sure if you want me to go through all the slides, or would you want slide by slide? You need to give me guidance. Do I go through?
I think it will be important that you highlight the critical things that you believe. Members had this, the presentation with them by yesterday or day before yesterday, and therefore they are versatile with the presentation that you will be making. So the crux of the matter is what is very important here.
Thank you very much for that guidance, Chair. We have provided a bit more detailed information in the PowerPoint.
Just one moment, Honourable.
The convention of this committee that we do get the presentation in advance, so we need to be prepared. And it seems that this presentation is different from what we've got. But the other one is delaying the process. I feel a bit unprepared if I'm read unprepared for something else that somebody else needs.
There's an issue which has been raised here that the presentation is different from what we have. I don't know how much the difference will there be from the one that we received.
Chairperson, the information we gave you was a much more comprehensive, detailed report, and this presentation just highlights the key extracts from that detailed report that we gave you for this submission.
Proceed, sir.
proceed.
Thank you, Chairperson. So the title of my presentation is Achieving Significant Public Transport in Cape Town. As per your guidance, we've highlighted in this presentation the three aspects. What's the project progress? What, as a city, have we delivered in terms of the grant that has been offered to the City of Cape Town? What was the key lessons learnt, and how we applying it into the next phase, and then highlight key challenges and risks in the project. So our presentation is framed on those three aspects. So around the project progress, that's a slide that shows our phase one and N2 express geography portfolio members, and the current public transport rollout extends from Atlantis about 50 to 55 kilometers north, covers Table View and Dunoon, Century City, Joe Slovo, accesses the airport, and we have two N2 express services going into Mitchell's Plain and Khayelitsha, as well as the inner city services going all the way to Hamburg and Imazamigetu in the Hout Bay area. As a summary, our MyCity services, if I look at the coverage in terms of people and population we cover, if you look at the system currently, we have about around 76,000 weekday boardings, and of that 76,000, 50%, half of those boardings covers the low-income areas of Atlantis, Dunoon, Hamburg, Imazamietu, Khayelitsha, Mitchell's Plain. So the service we have provided and implemented, part of this has improved quality public transport to the low-income areas in the City of Cape Town. You could also see that there has been a remarkable growth in our utilization of our service, and this is a typical S-curve, which starts slowly and then it ramps up quickly and then normalizes to our projected passenger journeys. So this is a quarter per quarter from 2011 all the way to 2017, and currently we have 5 million passenger journeys on the MyCity service. Now it's very important to unpack what a journey is. A journey, for example, if I catch one feeder bus in a local area, I catch that feeder bus, I connect to a trunk and I connect to another feeder, and I get off the service, that's one journey. So a journey covers from the first tap onto the system to when I tap out. So a journey could comprise of three individual trips. So it's a very important definition in our presentation. So we have 5 million journeys, which covers an origin to a destination. Just in terms of some statistics, summary of statistics, we have 255 buses used in the peak period. So if you take a snapshot of our peak period, at the moment there's 255 buses running in the peak. We have provided close to 32 bi-directional dedicated lanes, and that's lanes in both directions. There are 42 stations, 40 MyCity routes, 3 MyCity depots, 4 public transport interchanges that provides transfer to the minibus taxi industry. We have 12 park and ride facilities, and in addition we've got 140 kilometers of cycle lanes to provide NMT services, and we've purchased over 20 hectares of land. Since November 2013 to July 2017, we carried 61.6 million passenger journeys, and as I said earlier, on an average weekday, we carry around 75,000 passenger journeys, which we employ about 560 drivers employed. A very important statistic that I would like to emphasize is the last three at the bottom, which is the key benefit of this project, is that we're trying to improve travel time onto the service. So if I take a snapshot of the service between our table view station to the civic center, previously, if I was traveling by car, it took me over an hour to get from one point to the next point. We have, every day, we have information of buses traveling between those. We have buses traveling between those points, and currently a passenger on that trunk service takes 35 to 37 minutes if the bus stops at all stops, and if it's an express service, it takes 27 to 29 minutes. So on the trunk service, we have saved in a region of 32 to 40 minutes for every single passenger, which is very important. If the poorest of the poor have to leave early from home, now they can actually stay later at home and spend some time either with their kids or get to work much earlier and get to work on time. So the travel benefit in terms of what the project was sold on has been achieved, and we see the benefits of that in our My City project in the city of Cape Town. Very important, just to compare, and we need to update the figures. If you compare what Gautrain is traveling on average passengers per weekday, Gautrain at 1516 was carrying about 55,000 passengers per weekday, and you could see our phase 1A service is already carrying more than that. So I just wanted to use that as a comparison. A very important aspect is cost recovery. If I compare revenue to the operational costs incurred, so if I look at the fare revenue in phase 1 and into express covering the direct operating costs, you can see an increasing improvement in our fare cost recovery. You could see most of our cities that start off, like Cape Town, you would start in the region of 30-35% cost recovery. If I compare the fare revenue collected by the bus and the direct operating cost to run the bus. And that direct operating cost excludes other costs like station services, AFC, fare management system, and APTS. If I just compare the running of the bus, this would be our fare recovery ratio. At the moment, the city is running at a 50% fare recovery ratio comparing revenue and the cost. A key aspect of improving that fare recovery was that in the process, we've done two-stage process where we started with a moderation service where we would run a service, and as you know, with transport, it's not a scientific, because transport's about behavior. So you would provide a supply for a service. After 6 to a year, you would look at the demand compared to the supply, and then you match your demand and supply. And that's what we call moderation, where we kind of moderate the service. Then the next step is around the optimization, where we look at new routes, new growth, route alignment to tap into to new markets. So you could see, even we've had a moderation service and an ongoing optimization services, and those were two important levers to get us to a 50% cost recovery ratio, where we could now reduce the cost without impacting significantly the income. Now this is a cost recovery ratio, portfolio chairs, chairperson and members, for the entire system. Where you have, if you look at the entire network, that looks at the trunks and the feeders. If you take out the trunks, the red roads on its own, you would see that the cost recovery ratio increases to 80%. And there's lots of efficiencies within the trunk service. But when you look at the entire network, where you put the feeder services with that trunk, because now feeder services operate in mixed traffic, at smaller buses, at slower, the feeder services, scheduled feeder services, bring down your cost recovery ratio. And you'll pick up later in my slide in terms of how we improve the situation and how we address that, it's focusing on that feeder service. So if you look at our service, When you take out the chunk's looking quite good in terms of 80% cost recovery. Just as a summary before I go into the key lessons, I think if we just look back at the city in terms of what we have implemented with this grant, I can confidently say that there has been significant improvement in terms of delivery of public transport in the city of Cape Town. As long as I've been working for the last 18 years at the city, this PTNG grant in terms of implementing the BRT project was a clear evidence that government is serious in improving quality public quality and car competitive public transport to the city of Cape Town. It is absolutely evident. And as we built this project, there was lots of private sector interest, private sector confidence in the project because we were delivering. It was not just some Mickey Mouse project, but it was a serious project that showed that we're serious about public transport in terms of reducing the travel time and improving the quality of service. And this was a good statement of putting public transport first. The other success is that in terms of the rollout of my city, our survey show that there's high passenger satisfaction with a high quality reliable service all day long. As I said earlier, the trunks are very well utilized, and there has been a significant shift from private car to the trunk service. There has been significant travel time improvements within the peak hours, and it has also introduced a new competitive business model where it starts telling operators, guys, you haven't got a monopoly, you're going to have to operate and compete up your game so that you can improve the quality service. It has introduced an integrated fare system, which has been amazingly beneficial for the user in terms of the card system as opposed to the cash system. And the other important aspect, which I'll touch on later, which links to the integrated urban development framework, is that this project has highlighted the importance of the integration between transport and land use. You'll pick it up later that transport cannot be planned in isolation, but this project has identified that if you want to improve the viability and the sustainability of our public transport system, it needs to be planned together with transport and land use, and I'll pick that up later. This project, of course, has also driven the need for a new institutional arrangement in local government, where local government needs to look at an integrated approach across modes, not just BRT, but the total network. Other key project success is around universal accessibility. This was one of the first projects in terms of public transport that provided access for all users, irrespective of the ability. Here we have a service that if it was moms with families, with wheelchairs, the aged, they could access public transport. Also, we have a huge amount of scholars, small children using the service. You go out today at 2 o'clock along the TR1 service, you would see a tremendous amount of scholars using the service. And that tells you that parents and their parents trust the service. Because as parents, we're worried about safety and security. And if you see so many scholars on the service, that immediately tells you that's a safe and secure environment created by that service. So that's just looking back, Chairperson, in terms of the progress we've achieved. Now, what are the key lessons learned? Now, I'm not quite sure if you recall when the city came and motivated our project, we specifically went up the phase one area up the west coast towards the Noon and Atlantis. And I remember as a planner, I was saying that because we wanted to test, we wanted to research this thing in BRT, we would like to use the phase 1A as our lab before we get into the metro southeast of the Kaida Channel, which was planned. And I can confidently say that if I had to make that decision again, knowing now, I would have made the same decision, because we have learned so many key lessons from phase one that we're using to improve our service into Mitchell's Plain and Carriage. And I want to focus on those key lessons. So obviously at Cities we were introduced to a specific BRT model, and there are certain things that work and there are certain things that we would like to improve as we move into the next phase, and these are the next couple of slides we would like to focus on. So let me kick off and say phase one in the city of Cape Town has been successful. If I look at the trunks, if you take out the trunk services in phase one has been tremendously successful. And if you remember, the original project was this hub and spoke model where you had a strong trunk, and at the end of these trunks it was supported by feeders. So you have feeders taking people to a specific node, and that node would then go to another node using a trunk, which was kind of a hub and spoke. Now in that model, looking back, we can say now that the trunks are successful. In terms of the character and the qualities and the characteristics of the trunk we've provided, has achieved the efficiencies that we wanted. However, the scheduled feeders, the feeders serving that node, those smaller buses, those buses traveling in mixed traffic where there's congestion, have a much lower cost recovery ratio. So the solution in terms of public transport, therefore, cannot be just BRT. It cannot just be BRT, and hence our key lesson learned is that the solution is a multimodal approach in future phases. We can't just have scheduled feeders everywhere. We cannot say we're going to replace the taxis everywhere. We cannot say we're going to have no taxi services, for example, running in the area and replace it with buses. We have to ensure that our plan has a multimodal approach that looks at trunks, that looks at the scheduled feeders, that looks at the role of the PTOG quality bus services, and looks at the role of the minibus taxi industry as we have it now. Now, as I said earlier, the focus of the trunk is essential, and that trunk must be supported by core and high demand scheduled feeder services. And it's very important that when we have high demand scheduled feeder services, we must ensure that those services have priority measures. That's very important. The key aspect that you need as portfolio members and chair, a critical aspect is to ensure that a bus, for example, can travel at 30 kilometers per hour, that your feeder can go to 20 kilometers per hour. And you can only do that by giving it priority, by giving it its own space. As you allow that service to run in mixed traffic, your cost recovery ratio is going to go down. And that's a critical lesson that the city has learned. Provide priority lanes to ensure that your speed is at an acceptable level. So your trunk services must be supported by a quality bus, your PTOC services, and on-demand taxis, which plays a feeder and a distribution service. A very critical aspect, key lesson learned, is that the city must play a central coordination and integration between modes. So the city, to achieve integrated transport, it must have that coordination and integration mandate to ensure that the modes are operating together. And to achieve that, it requires the assignment of regulatory and contract functions to achieve the structured integration between BRT, quality, taxi, and rail. And it's very important that the city, as the implementing agent, has oversight over those modes to implement the integrated transport that we all aspire to. So the city's role as an integrating authority does not just include the transport, a critical aspect, but it's important that the city's functions also include the land use side as well as the human settlement. And that was a key lesson learned, and that led the formation of the Transport and Urban Development Authority, TDA, in Cape Town in January 2017. So as I speak to you now, I'm an official of TDA, which doesn't look at transport, but it looks at transport, land use and human settlements, and I'm the colleague responsible of the portfolio manager in charge of transport. The other key lessons learned, very progressive work coming out of DOT was around the compliance with the DORA conditions, which is a legal requirement for cities receiving PTNG, was that when you prepare a project, you need to have a project in the context of a broader plan. So cities must produce your integrated public transport network plan for the entire metropolitan area. So your application for projects must be housed within that IPTN plan, and that plan must show financial sustainability, and it must be approved by council, which was a very important requirement from DORA. The other requirement from DORA, which is extremely progressive and is the right thing to do, is that as a project, you must look for the next 10 years in terms of your operational costs. Show, project your costs for the next 10 years, look at income, look at operational costs, and assess sustainability over the next 10 years in the form of a multi-year financial operational plan. The document that we forwarded to you on Friday, members of the PC and chairperson, was a document that was just approved by our council in August, which was the IPTN business plan and the MIFIN report, and that's the document we circulated to you, which kind of get that approval as required by the DORA conditions, and it shows how we achieve the fiscal and financial sustainability, and I'll extract the key themes in this presentation as I draw to a close. So the IPTN business plan, as I was saying, that the city-wide integration infrastructure strategic management, it's important that the city drives that, but it's not just the BRT, but it's what's the city's role on passenger rail, bus rapid transit and quality bus and minibus taxi and new generation service. It's very important that these services be looked in holistically. I'll give you an example. We're running a N2 Express service from Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain to the city of Cape Town. We currently have a declining rail service, and it's quite evident that passengers now is moving from the rail service to our BRT service. So the demand for services on BRT has escalated. Now, the most appropriate mode for that service is rail. So if we turn a blind eye to rail, we're gonna create another problem on our other mode of transport. So therefore, as an authority, we need to look at a holistic approach in terms of ensuring that each mode operates optimally to respond to specific demand. So for the city, we have an extensive rail network on plan. Part of our rail project supported by DOT and PRASA is the link, the Blue Downs rail link. That's the new link we would like to build, which links Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain to Bellville. Currently, members, without that link, passengers from Mitchell's Plain and Khayelitsha travel on the train all the way to Mutual Station. They transfer at Mutual Station and take all the way the train down to Bellville. Additional costs and lots of time. Well, with this introduction of this Blue Downs rail link, it provides a quicker route to Bellville. It's a reduced distance, it takes people quicker to get there, and it will be a cheaper fare because of the distance. The other advantage of this link, it takes the passengers wanting to go to Bellville off the central link, which then creates additional capacity for people from Khayelitsha and Mitchell's Plain coming into Cape Town. So that's quite a critical link in terms of our IPTN. The next level of our integrated public transport network is the BRT network, members. That's our BRT network expanding across the city. That's our phase one network, which we've implemented, and the next service, which I'll touch on later, which is our phase 2A, links Mitchell's Plain and Khayelitsha to Wynberg and Claremont. And if you look at the rail coverage, you can see there's no rail network that cuts across from Mitchells Plain and Khayelitsha to Wynberg and Claremont. And with that phase 2A link, it closes that quadrant and provides a good quality public transport service from the east to the west. Now, it doesn't stop there, and this is the important part and probably the main theme of my presentation, that we focused on rail and we then focused on BRT. Now, in terms of the PTOL quality bus service, now, a key lesson learned in our service is that the quality bus is a critical element as part of our network. So we have the rail and we have the BRT, but the quality bus services need to form a critical part in terms of a feeder service towards this service. So it provides core feeders and direct services, and it's essential that we review and rationalize our PTOC services to integrate with MyCity BRT to ensure easy transfers, good ticket integration, good timetable integration, a similar branding, same infrastructure, and real-time information. So when a passenger would access a PTOC service, there wouldn't be a difference in quality of service, but it would just be a different bus, and it provides a feeder service towards the trunk. And we can, as a city, to achieve this, we can only do this, which requires the assignment of the contracting authority. So that's a critical aspect that needs to be unblocked for us to achieve this integration and to make this BRT model fiscally and financially sustainable. An important aspect, as I mentioned earlier, is the minibus taxi industry. As you know, this model started with replacing the taxi industry with all scheduled services, and the taxi industry becomes part of the company. A key lesson learned: we will not be able to match the characteristics of the minibus taxi industry in terms of its on-demand reactiveness and flexibility. And it's very important that our IPTN establish a key role for the minibus taxi industry in terms of our IPTN. The role of technology, and this is going to be a space where we all have to work together, is going to be key to ensure that this hybrid model works. In City of Cape Town, we call it new generation technologies, how we tap into technology to ensure that the minibus taxi industry is aligned and integrated with the IPTN. I'm going to skip the slide, but this just gives kind of a framework of the importance of what technology provides. It helps us with the route planning. So before I start, I go onto my phone. I say I want to go to a specific location, and on the phone it says walk to a specific location. There'll be a taxi at the frequency of 2 minutes. Catch that taxi to another point. So on your phone, you can ensure you link into the integrated network. It allows integration between modes. It provides a fare management payment, and it also matches supply and demand. So with technology, it accurately manages the supply and the demand. So drawing to a close, what are the key levers for success? And this is an important important slide. The first aspect where we need to, as a city, we've identified to turn it around was around the scheduled feeders. And I've touched on this already, that we cannot have scheduled feeders everywhere across the city. We need to reduce the extent of scheduled MyCity feeders, because that reduces your cost ratio. If you do provide scheduled service, maximize your priority. Give it dedicated lanes so that bus can at least achieve the high travel speed. An important aspect: we need to introduce the minibus taxi industry within the feeder, and that's a challenge which we as cities have to work together and review. Because I think this is a challenge that we're grappling with, not only in our city, but my experience internationally is that the world out there is looking at how we look at the paratransit model. How do we find a model where the minibus taxi industry is part of our network that provides a service and the minibus industry is viable in itself? And that's the challenge that we as a city need to overcome over the next year or two. Because if they're not viable in themselves, they will start competing. So you must make sure that whatever you establish the area for the minibus taxi industry, that must be a space where they're viable and they operate in that space. A key lever for success, I've touched on this, is that we need to focus on key bus operational variables. And I've just listed a few. Number one, I've said this before, but increase the speed. Ensure that your speed is increased. Our ops guys also tell us not just speed, but there needs to be consistency of arrival. You don't want a bus to be erratic, because then you can't manage the timetable. And dedicated lanes provide that consistency. When you come to a bus, to a station, you know that the bus will be there in the next minute or so. If it's in mixed traffic, it's just so very erratic. Key operational characteristics is the size of the vehicle. Push the larger the larger vehicles. And then we also need to ensure that the buses are full in peak, and then watch your positioning kilometers in terms of, you don't want your bus to have dead mileage, because so you make sure that your planning and your depot locations, your staging locations, are all closely held together to minimize the dead mileage. Other key lever of success into the future is to have this competitive vehicle operating company rates, which reduces the VOCO rates through competitive tendering. We need to reduce indirect costs. We need to reduce the station management cost. We have time to unpack that, but that's an important thing. We need to reduce indirect cost of station management, fare management, enforcement, and oversight. A key aspect is that we need to look at land use and transit-orientated development. It's not just about transport, and how do we encourage, why must people live 40 kilometers from where they work? Can't they bring work closer? And we can reduce that that distance. Also, currently, if you look at the city of our service, a passenger gets on at Atlantis, he sits on that seat, and he gets off in Cape Town. So that seat is only carried by one person. If you start having increased land use opportunities along that route, that seat will now be used by more people. So people would get on and off, so that same bus can generate more revenue. So the importance of getting that land use change is a critical aspect to turn around the story. And then obviously we need to look at other sources of funding. We can't just rely on the revenue. This is international as well. Many systems, bar two or three, is self-sustainable in terms of the fare revenue. So just in summary, if, for example, we have to take our phase one model, where we replace everything, and we have trunk and feeder schedule everything, we will be sitting with in terms of our ICN business plan, a 5 billion rand deficit, which is not sustainable. So if I want to bring it back to a sustainability line, if you look at the scheduled feeders, if we start reducing that scheduled feeders, you start bringing that 5 billion rand deficit to about 1.3. If you now start improving your bus operating variables, getting the speeds higher, getting the correct buses, that deficit comes to about closer to north. If you start getting competitive VOC rates, we're getting closer to the 9. But when you start influencing the land use changes, which will be over time, you start getting over the line, and then you start becoming more productive. And this obviously takes time. And then obviously you could also have non-fare revenue. So these are the key levers of success to bring us close to fiscal and financial sustainability. So I'm going to move through a bit quicker, Chair, but this is our IPTN business plan. It's a 10-point plan. It's one integrated
public multimodal network, which includes rail, BRT, the quality bus, hybrid minibus taxi, non-motorized transport, the IT, the physical priority, which is important, revenue optimization, regulation enforcement, and TOD and TDM, and those are our pillars of our IBTN business plan. In terms of our financial plan, if you now look at over the next 10 years, what's the revenue and what's the cost? We have done a detailed assessment of our phase 1 into express, phase 2A, and our section 46 gap services. We have assessed the operating cost and revenue up to 32 and 33, and we have identified key parameters for the design of phase 2A, quality bus and new generation services. So we've applied all of that, and that's within the MIFIN document that you have. So in terms of phase 2A, our next phase, as I said, it links Mitchell's Plain, Khayelitsha, all along Govan Mbeki Road, which is formerly known as Lansan Road, and goes through areas of Nyanga, Philippi, Guguletu, Mannenberg, and Noble Park, Lansdowne area towards Claremont and towards Weinberg, and it connects the low-income areas to opportunities, and it also starts closing the quadrant in terms of public transport. So there's the rail, but then the BRT provides that closure of that loop. So we have looked at the operating cost for phase 2A, and our operating cost shows that phase 2A is able to cover the direct operational cost from fare revenue and city contribution, which then meets the Department of Transport and MFAA sustainability criteria, provided certain criteria are met, and these are critical criteria. Number one, to achieve that sustainability, the reassignment of the contracting function in PTOG is essential. You have seen the critical role that the PTOG services play within our network, and that reassignment of that function is critical, which includes the transitional cost for the quality bus equipment and vehicle recap. It's very essential, critical criteria is that the grant funding, the PTNG and the PTOG, remain stable. So for us to ensure good planning and to ensure that the rollout in phase 2A happens, that grant funding remains stable. We have assumed no real growth and only applied a CPI increase. Other important criteria for success is that we have budget for 25% of discretionary portion of the PTNG assumed for the initial years. Until the other cities ramp up and the key operating cities, we are saying that there should be a 25% of discretionary portion of PTNG. And then we've also assumed a capping on the PTNG operational expenditure, because the more we spend on operation, the longer it takes to build the capital. So we have put a cap on the operational cost so that we can get to the Metro Southeast much more quicker. We're also going to increase city rates contributions on direct cost up to 5% in 2024-25, and the city is also exploring additional sources of funding on the project. So these are the critical criteria to ensure financial sustainability of our project. So if we take a look at the situation that we have in terms of the capital cost, members, the slide that you have is the PTNG, the line there is the PTNG required for operations. That's to cover operations, and we have to cap that. We can't provide more money for the operations, because then we're going to have less money for capital. So that's the operational budget. That's the money needed to build infrastructure. So the top of the line is the money needed for that financial year to build our phase 2A services. The blue line is the PTNG money available. And you can see that the current money available is not enough to implement our phase 2A services. We have investigated other funding, and we got some audio funding from the Dutch, which just increases the blue to that line. You can see that's not enough to bridge the gap. And therefore, in our submission now, the BFI funding application is critical to bridge that gap, to ensure that we deliver our phase 2A service in time. So if you look at the trips, this, the blue is our phase 1A, and you can see that this is our passenger trips. And when we phase 2A, we would triple the amount of trips. So phase 2A increases our phase 1A by 3 to 4, and that's an important part of our network. But it's not just the BRT component, and again, you see the PTOG services as part of this network. So finally, key challenges and risk, the stability and the certainty of the fund. The blue shows the our daughter allocation to the city in 2012. That was our daughter allocation, and you can see as other cities started being part of the game, our application has reduced. And this is the proposed allocation for 18-19. And we are then making an application for that discretion allocation to get us to an acceptable level to achieve our phase 2A delivery. I'm sure members, you are aware of this graph, which I've taken out of the Integrated Urban Development Framework, which speaks about the importance of cities, and it clearly speaks about key strategic goals of spatial integration and the key levers. The key word is integration through the IUDF. So cities are the engine of the economy. Engine requires integrated land use and transport planning to ensure efficient movement of people. The cities can only work effectively if we improve public transport, and we cannot turn our back on public transport. We have started this race, and we need to complete it, because we're moving in the right direction in terms of improving quality public transport to the city, and we need to facilitate the TOD link to public transport improvements. Cities cannot fund public transport by itself, and if you look at international examples, that's not the case. Thus, to help turn around the economic downturn, cities need more public transport support from the national fiscus and not less. Implications of reduced grant funding is that we're going to have a longer delay. If we're going to start to reduce the grant funding, we're going to start implementing services beyond 15 years to a service. The public transport is going to continue to deteriorate. We're going to reduce economic growth, and we're going to accelerate the apartheid restructuring if TOD is not possible for the next decade. A recommendation from the City of Cape Town is that we really pursue increasing PTNG allocation to the key metros. We award discretionary allocation from the PTNG based on performance, and we have to develop other funding sources like the budget facility for infrastructure, and then that's critical for the rollout. I've made the statement that we need to ensure that the city has all the responsibilities to ensure integrated transport. Cities need to be coordinated planning, implementation, and operation to achieve that. And a critical thing that we need unblocking is the assignment of the Section 46 contracting function, which is critical part of our network. And as you're probably aware, TDA has followed the process set out in the Act, the assignment of Section 46. The assignment and associated PTOC funding was agreed by all relevant parties over 3 years ago, and notwithstanding full compliance, at the moment the assignment has not been signed off, and the assignment is now long overdue and creates a problem for us to ensure the rollout towards an integrated public transport service. And our recommendation to the PC is for assistance to unblock this contracting assignment to make this integrated transport work. Chair, that's my story. Apologies for taking so much time for that City of Cape Town's presentation today.
Thank you very much. I've allowed you extra minutes because I could see that you were going towards the end. Honourable members, then, yeah? representation from the city of Cape Town. Honorable Mutinga, Honorable you come along the line. Normally, when we make this type of presentations, if there are issues that need further elaboration, we request that you do that in writing. If we feel that probably we will need more extra information on certain things, we make sure that you follow up that in writing so that honorable members can be able to acquaint themselves. So, that is how we operate. We really appreciate those when requested, they are brought to us in a jiffy kind of a time, because sometimes we tend to have so much work that some of the things get bypassed. And I must just indicate that as we're going to be the process where we are looking into to get ready for money for what has been allocated to yourself. Then, so that Parliament should be able to say to the Minister and to do through the Minister, these are the issues that we need to be able to do in October, these are the things that we will be doing. So, our anticipation is when we request information from you, so that as we package towards Parliament, we package even the information that we have requested. Honorable Humsinga, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Fortuyn and Peter Green, XPU, for the presentation. My first question is around slide, I think it was six, your slides weren't numbered. The S-curve, and in particular then the maturity phase of that S-curve, I think it was slide 6. I would have liked to see the influence of your projected remedies to then, you know, continue the growth. I would have liked to see how that S-curve would be influenced, hence your proposals of how you would maintain and even expand growth. So that would have been quite a good slide. Apart from also seeing how the business model then would fit into that in terms of cost and fair recovery. Because the economic climate that we currently have does not suggest increased grants. So in a way we need then to look at this a bit different. Because we must keep on doing what we do in more places, even in the cities that we currently have a form of BRT, it should be expanded, yet there isn't much hope for increased grants since we are in a bad economic phase. Then you made a very valuable distinction between trunk and feeder routes. Unfortunately then, instead of, with your suggestion, with your statement in realizing that taxi services need to be incorporated, especially in the feeder routes where the bigger buses are definitely not the most effective. Then on the other hand, you know, I get the idea that you would rather than employ smaller buses, rather than to increase the cooperation with taxis. So could you be specific, because that's the impression I got, and I would like to know, you know, what's the sort of thinking direction there. I'm also aware that you didn't talk a lot on carbon reduction, which was a rather important element of our recommendation towards the design of your presentations to all the cities. I am aware that the city of Cape Town is getting these electronic battery buses. How would that then change the cost recovery model? Because certainly two elements or more, you know, play a part in this calculation around the cost efficiency in the trunk route compared to a feeder route. Would it then make sense to use the electronic buses in a feeder system, and how would that then change the cost recovery model? You made a statement that you would want to increase oversight over the modes. And as you might know, we are currently busy with the NLTA and deliberation around that as a very important phase and contribution to a piece of legislation which is very, very important going forward. Now, particularly in terms of your remark about oversight over the modes, and I'm referring to regulatory and contracting authorities and the current structure, could you expand in how your vision for what you want to achieve can be supported by an improvement in our considerations on the construction of the NLTA? There's been a couple of accidents with the MyCity buses recently. Particular, I think, general understanding of dedicated lanes issue give rise to issues and motorists not understanding particularly intersections and red buses and green buses and when which apply. So could you just elaborate on these accidents that we had? I also know that there's been a bit of issues around the wrong material that was used, particularly on stations, and that a lot of expenses had to be incurred on corrosion due to humidity and stations that need to be improved, and lessons learned around that, since most of our cities are along the coastal areas, and we could share a bit of information there. Then on your slide 16, which I made a particular note of, the contracting functions which you said is critical for integration with MyCity, if you could just expand a bit around that, because that to me is probably the most important element that we should take notice of going forward, and how we as a committee can influence and support your role trying to expand on what you're doing. Thank you, it was a good presentation.
Thank you, Chair, and thanks very much for the presentation to the presenters who gave the presentation. I'm familiar with what Cape Town is doing because I've been doing research on BRT in general for a long time. So my questions are as follows. Well, first of all, some comments. I think when BRT was first implemented in various metros, various local authorities, I got the impression it was a cut and paste job from Latin America. And I think what's happened is certainly the city of Cape Town has spearheaded adapting to our local conditions. I fear, Chair, that through the presentations later on, because of the lack of experience of other local authorities, there's still that element of cut and paste. So that leads me on to the following is, without a doubt, Cape Town is the most advanced as far as the implementation of BRT is concerned, for a variety of reasons. Is there a forum, or is there some kind of network that local authorities that have BRTs, the 13 BRT cities, is there a forum where they can interact and learn from each other? Because when I watch other, other local authorities, I see the same mistakes being made that the City of Cape Town has made and rectified and learned from and moved beyond. Is there some kind of a network or forum where all the different metros get together, the different local authorities get together and share experiences on BRT so that you save money and time and everything else that goes with it? And if there isn't, surely there should be. And may I then suggest that it be a suggestion, and we can't impose on a different tier of government, perhaps a suggestion, maybe through the political heads and through the directors heading the BRTs, that there be that kind of forum. Because I suspect that many of the local authorities that are kind of very far behind in the process would be saving a lot of money and time on not reinventing the wheel where other metros like Cape Town have done. So that's kind of my first question. I don't know such a forum, and I'd like to suggest that there be one. We obviously as a portfolio committee can't impose that, but I certainly think it would be very beneficial and would be a way of saving our taxpayers' money. Then what's particularly encouraging in Cape Town, and I don't see it in any of the other cities, is the integration of other aspects of local authorities. So Cape Town is looking at land use, it's looking at settlements, it's looking at economic growth and so forth. And there are various examples, and the handout that was mailed to us from the city covers a lot of that. And that is the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, innovative, out-of-the-box thinking, that mitigates the apartheid plan. So what the presenter was talking about, where you have somebody who will sit on a bus for an hour and a half, that shouldn't happen. That person should sit for 20 minutes maybe and get off and go to their place of work nearby. And I always say over and over again, Chair, this is the one portfolio that can concretely, quickly, and relatively inexpensively change around the project plan right now in our lifetime. And that is through making sure that it's easy for people to move around. We can't uproot people where they are, where they're forcibly taken to in the past, but we certainly can make it easy and quick when it becomes near inverted commas. And that nearness is transport and modes of how to get there. And then my only criticism that I have, I hope that I suspect it is, but I hope it's going to be pipeline to change in Cape Town, is that all roads seem to lead to the city of Cape Town, to the CBD of Cape Town. And maybe you could unpack a little bit there of where you actually don't want people to come to the city vault because it's oversubscribed and congested and all that kind of thing. If you could just perhaps tell us a little on how you're kind of moving people away from the city block so that people don't necessarily have to come into one place, and in this example, be in the city. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. My first question, first of all, let me comment the comprehensive presentation that we have received from the city. The first issue is the issue of capping the operations. The use of consultants. What we have been discovered in most of the projects and in most government departments, including municipalities, that sometimes there's a lot of usage of consultants. So we just want to check whether we don't have that kind of scenario also with this project in the city. The other one is the issue of black empowerment, particularly women and youth, in terms of contributing to the civil challenge, which is poverty, unemployment, and equality. What is the city doing in actually making sure that when it's implementing this project that there is empowerment, particularly with women and women. And also, it's also helping the government to deal with civil challenges the government is facing. The other one is which international practices or models are you benchmarking the city of Cape Town PRC? If you can give us specific countries, maybe one or two, in terms of their successes in implementing this project, I think it will help us a lot. And lastly, Chair, I was just taking of my observation. The presentation was quite long and very comprehensive, but the recommendation is only one. You're very economical in your recommendation. don't be intimidated by us. We are here to assist and to work with the city to make sure that the project becomes a success. So if you can look at other areas where we can cooperate and work together, we are here to serve the people, including the people of the city of Cape Town.
Thank you. Good morning, all. Let me join my colleagues in appreciating the presentation from the city of Cape Town. To the city, let me say there's three honorable members. There's two before me, I'm the third one, to ask a similar question of where if you have any country or city that you have twinning arrangements with, where you draw best practice. Coming to my other question was to ask, I believe that you use a prepayment system. I think so. The card system, I think the prepayment system. How do you then satisfy those customers during unrest or during strike action, since you are a city and your workers work under unionized environment? How do you ensure, and I would also like to understand your measurement tool on customer satisfaction, and also to get a sense, how do you see the system responding to the challenge of environment? Do you see more people leaving their vehicles to board the My City buses? What can you share with us with regards to that? Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you to the presentation by the city as well. I just have some questions, but also let me just upfront say that some of the questions will deal with what was said on the slide. I thought when you deal with the challenges, you would go into challenges and risks. You would drill down to some of the very glaring ones, noticeable ones. Maybe if you could just time a letter for maybe educators. On your feeder system that you spoke about, your feeder system currently, as we speak, in terms of where you are already operational, you actually don't have a feeder, you have displacement strategy. You actually, if I put it bluntly, you are moving out the minibus taxis in favor of My City. So maybe we should speak about the part of the cost factor that the buyout, the city has been part of the buyout plan strategy, where some of the routes taxi operators have to give in to by My City at the various cost. Some have received 350,000, 500,000 to basically move out of the route and to make available from the city. So that strategy, actually a strategy, if you look at the Atlantic route, for example, if you look at the Thames Bay route, if you look at the Seaport route, if you look at all the taxis operating in those cities, they have been a constant buyout. Now, the question is on that. Is that the integration of public transport system, or is it in compliance with a feeder system? Because I see it as not, actually. Now, you have that industry as an industry that has struggled over years. My difficulty is that you find it more and more that very same sector not finding actually is actual support. And we go to other cities as well. Not getting actual support, but we find concerted effort to elbow out. Why are they being elbow out if it's actually the only industry, call it black industry, that black people are seems to be having hold of, the liver of it? So that's really the one question that troubles me all the time when I see and all the time I speak to minibus operators that we see and meet with. Now, the inbound strategy, the risk that you have not spoken to the risk of the agreement that you may have with the association top structure of selling out, which in fact binds everybody, even those that have not necessarily signed in or agreed, which what you have in Atlantis or you have in another city you're going through. So you have a sporadic conflict that builds up between those that have sold out and those that want to remain on the route. But the agreement already signed is that they already been elbow out. That leads me to the city appropriating a function they don't have. The function of the permit, operating permit, where there is agreement with the structure at the top, those that did not necessarily agree to sell, when the license is due for a review or for the renewal, they receive a letter to say, by the way, we already told you so that we're no longer going to exist in this particular route, and your license or your operating permit is not going to be renewed. Now that function is actually not a function of the city. But because of the city as a planning authority uses that, it basically is encroaching in the functions that belong to the Department of Transport. It elbows out the minibus taxi and making out this provision for the minibus taxi, for my city. I just want to understand that strategy, sustainability of it. Is it enhancing or building the small, medium business operators, or is it actually wiping them out? For me, that's simply what it is. And it is not in compliance or supporting government efforts to bring that into the mainstream of the economy. Actually, we want to see this minibus taxi becoming my city tomorrow, taking over that function, supported by government, to be able to provide that particular transport. The planning, land use planning question, I know the guys in the room, the apartheid cities, as you always know, they're always going to be a one pattern committee. One, the A to B, B to again. How are you dealing with that in terms of your own planning, in terms of, because at the moment you are going to do that, but let me move quickly to the other questions that I don't want to lose of the time. You haven't spoke about the value for money expenditure in terms of what has been involved. If you look at the city and you take a quick look from 2010 and you look up to now, probably we're talking about what, 6 billion, 6.2 billion or more than that, a little bit more than that. The breakdown of your cost, we have raised this issue with the Department of Transport. Now the cities, let me say that, we want to get to the others, seems to be paying higher percentage of the money they get to consultancy. The engineers company, the consultancy that helped you to deal with the cost of in-house capacity issues, then proportionally, what is the percentage that goes into that? That's the question that you've been raising. Now, the MOU that we have with your DOT with respect to that, is there compliance with it? The cost factor. And this consultancy, contracted in consultancy, what capacity are they leaving behind? If I were to quickly look at ITE's the consulting engineering from 2010 in the city of Cape Town, and continuously, it's an in contracted capacity. If you look at the contract one, contract two, there's some speak to that issue about fruitless expenditure. There's a degree of fruitless expenditure that has happened as a result of contract one, cancellation into the next contract. You know what I'm talking about. You know about the contractor, the women, all those kind of contractors where did you get all your money back when you had to cancel the particular contractor because of non-delivery of the services by those that were the contract. Quickly, Chair, the issue about city capacity, is it in-house capacity? What is that capacity, in-house capacity that you have in terms of provision of this or executing this function? Maybe give us a little bit about the cost so far of the buyout, how much that has been in terms of, and explain the buyout, so where does the money come from? Is the money from the grant that is utilized to buy out, or is the city-owned coffers utilized to buy out? Speak a little bit more about the compliance with the Municipal Finance Management Act with respect to these issues that deal with the procurement aspect of the city, particularly when you deal with this very same issue about the contract system. Recently, the mayor of Cape Town made a statement. I read it in the newspaper. The statement was more or less saying, we don't have, going forward, we're not going to have the money to pay for this My City rollout. What does that mean? Is that something got to do with the 25% discretionary that we're talking about? Is that the same, the statement of the mayor got to do with the 25% that you're talking about discretionary to top up the shortage that you, in the graph that you showed us, that you're down now because of the other city coming on the playing field, and the cake has been smaller, and now you have to let go of others. Are you ready for the Department of Transport strategy, which worries me? You spoke about comprehensive integrated transport plan before the funds are given to you. Is there capacity currently? Maybe Cape Town, is there capacity in all the cities to do that? Is that going to be in contracted in capacity? Meaning that cut and paste that someone was talking about earlier, is it going to be that kind of So I think that, for me, general questions that I wanted to just check. I will come back to later. There are a number of other questions that I have listed, but maybe those high-level questions, I know that 50% recovery issue and 50% recovery issue, we perhaps have to go a little bit back to that discussion a little bit more, because the Southeast has much more demand of public transport. The Southeast is the part of the low-income bracket. This is where you're going to be focusing on phase two, that we just talked about phase two. Is this phase two going to be now endangered with the discussion that you have? Is there a necessity for you to get infrastructure, the what you call it, Rolls-Royce infrastructure, in terms of digging other roads instead of appropriating another lane and marking it with much lesser cost as the HOV, if you like, high occupancy vehicle. I mean, we have much international cities that dedicated the lane without necessarily going to high expenditure of creating another road like you're doing on N1. So you have three lanes, why don't appropriate one lane? If you want to discipline public, private vehicle behavior, you take what is in existence. You say there's three lanes on the N1, we're going to take one as it is and market with a high occupancy vehicle at less cost, but dedicated to an express line into the city. Why must it be extra expenditure in terms of reconstruction of the road? If at all we want to make sure that we mobilize most of those who are in a private vehicle to get into a public transport, which in this case, my city in the case, why must, maybe we must speak to the infrastructure cost as well. So we can see whether you actually need more money, whether you need to replan, to relook at your planning in terms of its infrastructure cost. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable has just raised a very critical question, that there are some questions that we have left out, which we should have asked. I'm going to request also, same thing like a reciprocate, that if there are honourable members who did not ask other questions, they must do so in writing, so that the committee secretary can be able to forward to the city, because it's very important, these questions that we have left out. It's in the interest of empowering and making sure that the city can be able to do other things. This was the point of before I'm told.
Thanks, Mr. President. Firstly, I would appreciate the presentation, but I would like maybe the next time when you bring the presentation must be with date and time, because this presentation now is in black and white. You can't create it clearly here. And, so let me start by saying in your slide, I don't know which page, but I'm talking about the previous areas. I see in one of the slides you said the overall 15% of all the passengers used by my city on a daily basis reside in the low income areas. So as I checked here, you talk about Khayelitsha, but I didn't see any feeder system from taxi industry feeding to the my cities with respect to Khayelitsha in particular. I just only see my city from airport to town, but I don't see any station planned or when they taxi from the informal settlement to feed to my city. So another thing I want to know whether there is any subsidy you are getting from the Department of Transport, if it is there, because it's not clear in your presentation. And the other clarification question is about the taxi association. What is the relationship between my city and the taxi association around Western Cape or in Cape Town in particular? It is Santaco and some local taxi association. And in your presentation again, we wanted to hear about the empowerment in terms of the procurement. The SMME is and the cooperatives, what are they benefiting from this program? As you know, in the NDP, they said 30% of NDP, they said about 90% of jobs that they demand from this SMME and cooperatives. And during the State of Nation address, it was said by President that 30% of procurement from government and state-owned companies must be directed to the SMEs and cooperatives. So how many are you supporting them in this system? The other question is about the Euphonesia. In terms of your projected budget, balance sheet and audit report, it's not clear. I mean, how is the auditor report from ICT for the maybe past 3 years? We must know whether is it in the right hand, because we can't just pump the money without the clear view of the audit reports. Yes, for now, Chairperson, let me stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Sanibona. First of all, I wanted to thank you for the presentation, but nevertheless, let us interact with it. Chairperson, maybe it will sound as a repetition, but I will also touch what was raised by some of my colleagues earlier on. You see, I'll start with the owner. What is it? Now, with your strategy. You see, previously, your structure, you had a problem, but today it reflects something which is really positive, that good men and women. Previously, I'm told, it was just the Congress of Boys only. But will you please highlight to us about the organogram, about your structure in a high level, not with junior people, senior people. Whether have you considered it to rectify it? Because all over, not in Western Cape only, you are concerned about the structures in terms of the organogram, yes. That's a term which I was looking for. I'm sorry, I'm from the rural areas. And also, Chairperson, there was a story which was touched by my colleagues, Honorable Ramatlakane, about the issue of the consultants. But our historical background told us something about this. I don't know at the moment about the issue of consultants. How often are you using them? Because that's a duplication. Why do you use consultants? Why do you do have people who are responsible? And then it can be maybe examined there and there, not to use the whole budget for the consultants. I'll put an example in terms of empowering people. Here in Western Cape, we are still having bridges which are still remaining unfinished. We are told that the system which was used previously was the issue of consultants, where they gave you the advices that build this bridge at the end. It ends nowhere. I don't know what is the status quo at the moment. That's why we are concerned with the consultants. And then again, if you may assist us, my colleague also alluded about the issue of replacing minibuses with my seat. Do you have any program of integrating with communities as well as the communities? Why I'm asking that question? It affects you in terms in your one of your slides. You spoke about the key lessons about the issue of land and site and settlement, whereby Western Cape was also affected. What is the name of the area? You will remind me where we are busy with court cases about issue of court removals. Sorry? planted.
Yes.
Plant tree.
Planted.
The planted. Oh, sorry, thank you very much to remind me. That's fine. No, I'm making the joke so that you can remember tomorrow. Yes. Even the people who are kept telling this, they can remember tomorrow that I've made a joke with it. Because there is a quite difference between a theory and a practical. Because theoretical, you're giving us something picture, but practical, what is happening on the ground, force movers. People will never be consulted. Communities will never be consulted. And then also, I wanted to, in terms of your feeders and alike, what is your relationship with Uber? You know why? You even talk about it in one of your slides. You don't have numbers. Where you were talking about the high-end minibus taxi solution, new generation service, you said the city of Cape Town incredibly plan to make minibuses taxis better than Uber. You see, why I'm raising this thing? Our people are putting the government into danger. Why do you recognize the structure which is illegally so? Because Uber is selling the network. They don't have the permission of taxis. That act, it contributes to the conflicts whereby at the end they recognize themselves as this structure which are being recognized. Because you even quote in your own document, you quoted about that. It means that you are having a relationship with them. You can't quote the people which don't have a relationship with them while they are so illegally, in fact. They don't have permits, they don't have anything. It means that you recognize them. And then again, you see, what is worrying me, Chairperson, the issue, one of your slides, you spoke about phase 2A, future services in low income areas. I don't know what is your criteria in terms of focusing, in terms of prioritizing. Because the structures, you know, Chairperson, myself, I take it very, very seriously. I don't play with this. Whereby the people who were most disadvantaged, they are still disadvantaged. Because anything comes very late to them. One of your slides, you said, you were speaking about the multi-year financial operational plan. Yes, you indicated about 2082, something like that. And somewhere you spoke about to connect the low-income areas like Kailisha, Kudetinyanga, Crossroads. Why? You see, my word is this. Those are the people who are supposed to be prioritized because they bring a lot of communities to the city. At the end, they don't get the service which they're supposed to get or they're supposed to have. That is a worrying factor, as well as which has been running back in Hanover Park. These are the areas which are supposed to be given a priority because they didn't have anything even before. But still they continue. And then my question again, on top of that question, when are you going to start to consider those places as your priority? I'm not sure, Chairperson, it is alleged that in some of the areas they don't have even stations. The train just dropped them somewhere. I can take it as an allegation. It is alleged. And that's why I was asking you about the program of interacting with the communities and communities in terms of consultation with them so that you can get more information, which will give you a scope in terms of your planning, in terms of your budgeting. But if you budget without consulting the people, that's where there's a problem. What influence your budget, therefore, if you don't consult with them, if you don't ask them any questions? And I'm not sure, Chairperson. There is a place also. Chairperson, there is a place also of an issue of Griffon in Strand and Stellenbosch. I'm not sure about whether they use my city owner or trades owner. This is a problem. I will request you to check that, to take them on board as well. Because some of the areas they are struggling. If there is one mode of transport, that means it's very problematic if there is one mode of transport. Why? I believe that Western Cape is among the areas which receive the highest budget in terms of transport. Chairperson, let me leave it there. Maybe I'll come later. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, honorable members. In the next round, when we get the other city, I'm going to be very strict in terms of time. I'm going to give members 3 minutes so that you don't have preambles as you will be talking through the issues. I've got two, three issues that I must raise. Some of the issues have been raised by my colleagues here. Maybe we should just have an idea of the fares that you're charging, whether it's per kilometer or per ticket. However, let's have an understanding as to how is it going. But also in terms of the policy imperatives of the bus rapid transport and IPTN. It's the question of reliability, safety, which are incorporated. How are we faring in that regard, particularly as we have now find ourselves in the most of the rural areas. If it goes, particularly at night, are women safe, are children safe, what are the issues? But at the same time, the policy indicates that there must be a social inclusion as we are doing that. And you see in some areas where you find that trying to do the roads that is being indicated. As you're dealing with the N1, as you're dealing with the other roads, your Flamsky, the Weinberg kind of a thing, are you taking that into cognizance that there should be social inclusion? Because we have been, there has been this apartheid regime for quite some time, and now we want to come and settlement and transport, which actually works towards social inclusion. Lastly, I know that probably this may be part of your next work in the next week. Pollution, dust emission, have the city been able to quantify that? So that as we move, because the intention, one other intention is to make sure that those are the things that we try to reduce, the greenhouse gas emission, the pollution that gets there, particularly because as we deal with the VFT, part of the things will be reduction of the other mode of transport, especially with that, like one individual in a car situation. Are we also taking a call concerning that into consideration? And how are we intending to deal with that? And your linkages between yourself and the rail, because we've been hammering and battering Brasa to say we are of the expectation that by now we should be having a single ticket structure which comes from your buses into the trains, then you can be able to utilize that. How far have you gone in that regard so that you are able to say, in terms of the rail,
this is how we are dealing with the issues. You indicated earlier on that natural rain here is challenged, and most of the people are coming to you. But it is also important that we should be able to expand to other areas. How are we dealing with a situation where one can be able to come out of the train and come into the bus and be able to do work, or come from the bus, go into the train without necessarily having to exchange and buy and do all those things which actually we thought that when you introduce this integrated public transport, it says integrated public transport network, meaning that it should be able to integrate all the transport. And just unfortunately that we they have already spoken to the taxis which have been bought out as to how are we going to deal with this, because I can tell you that you buy them out today, tomorrow they come back back into the system. It's a cycle. You give them money, they come back again, they're still operating the same way. You're not going to deal with this situation. And we're going to end up in a situation where we will start to see violence in this regard. We need to help each other so that we're able to deal with this type of a situation, because an article a year or two ago, taxi operators were saying government is proceeding. I think that was when REM was coming in. Government is continuing to implement without further discussions and talks between government and taxi operators. So these are the things which actually are starting to come out, because people are starting to feel the pinch in their pocket, and therefore they will not take it right now. They will start to say, that was the beginning. Government is continuing to implement without intense discussion. How do we assist in this regard? What are the things? I'm going to give you, we are behind schedule, I'm going to give you 15 minutes to respond to all these things. All the other questions that you don't respond to, you know the rules. Thank you very much. That's why I start here. Here it will be 3 minutes in the next round, and then we will be able to proceed so that you can have plenty of time to respond to these issues. Thank you, and very much. You can continue.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, portfolio members. I have 11 pages of questions. So I can respond to each one of them. I know your guidance earlier that we need to respond in writing. So officially we'll do all in writing, but if with your guidance, I'd like to go through the questions, and then at each question I'll say I'll provide more information in writing, but critical ones, if I could just respond today with your guidance. That's okay. And then you could just give me guidance in terms of 15 minutes up, or do you say 15 or 50?
I said
1-5. Okay, just checking. Okay. The first question, I think it was about 50 minutes ago, was around that graph, portfolio member. Now just remember that this graph is just for the phase one, okay? So most of the services, when you introduce a service, it starts slow and it starts picking up, and then it normalizes around your projection. Now, it's critical that when we get into the new phases, we must make sure that the moderation and the optimization processes are taken into account in this area so that we can increase that rate of improvement. And we've got a separate presentation on the moderation and optimization here, and we are willing to provide the information. Just for time, if you don't mind, if I could just pass that. But that's quite a normal curve for any project. Around the trunk and the feeder, sorry, I must have explained myself incorrectly. In terms of the feeder, it wasn't around employing smaller buses. We actually want to move away from from that, and it's how we incorporate the minibus taxi service as it is now on the on-demand setup in terms of the network. A key aspect for all of our cities to make this work is that minibus taxi industry in its current form must be part of the network. That's quite a critical aspect. Around the electric vehicles, it's important for cost recovery. It reduces the vehicle operating operating costs. Yes, we all have electric vehicles, and again, in our write-up, we'll provide further information around around the electric vehicles. The two issues around the oversight and the gaps, I'm going to leave it to Peter at the end to pick it up, because that's quite an important aspect which our business planning is pushing. So when I'm finished, I'm going to give Peter 5 minutes just to talk about the importance of the assignment roles and the gaps. Around accidents, very important. I think a key aspect where we need to focus on is around the traffic signals. You're absolutely correct. Things that we need to work on now are signage regulations, is that currently you've got this red bus, which you can't actually see, it just looks like a little circle. All other cities in the world, they have a different aspect where they have maybe a vertical line, an horizontal line for various modes, which is clear. So I think we need to review our signed manual. The city has put in an application around this, so that's easy in the... So you're absolutely correct around signalling for bus, we need to do much improvement across the city. In terms of BRT, cut and paste argument, I think that's where all of the cities have, but you will see later, cities like Zaranda show in terms of Cape Town and Johannesburg, we've learned lessons that you can't actually imitate anywhere else in the world. I think we must make a statement of that. So the last year and a half, I worked for an international firm, and there's no example that we can take out and apply. So I know there was a question about who to go and visit portfolio members. I think we should just visit our own cities, because I think we've got key lessons learned of what we can provide. Let me say that other cities in Africa is visiting us on a regular basis in terms of key lessons learned that city of Riavaya and city of Cape Town has learned, and I think we all will be in terms of providing a BRT city in a developing country. So yes, there are certain aspects around universal access and trunk we can learn from certain countries, but I would say we just visit our own cities and learn from ourselves, which links to this whole forum where we can learn from between each other. So that's quite a critical aspect. There's one criticism from the PC member that all roads lead to Cape Town. That is a problem. You will see if I have time, in terms of our spatial plan, which is quite critical to transport. We don't want everybody to travel to a specific location at a specific time, at one time, and that's a formula for congestion. The city wants to focus on nodes, and to focus on other locations like Wynberg and Claremont, like Valville, like Philippi, and interface to A links that. So I agree with the member that we need to move away from one specific node, and we need to make sure that we have nodes throughout the city, and specifically in phase 2A. There was a series of questions around the compensation, around the use of consultants. We have a detailed breakdown, and we will provide that breakdown. Let me say that one positive from the city, if you come visit us at the city of Cape Town, we have been fortunate to have good internal staff within the city of Cape Town. We, for example, in our planning department, we have 12 to 14 officials full-time within the city. Within the business planning department, we have around 4 or 5 officials within the business planning and within infrastructure, we have 8 internal staff. And those staff provide oversight to consultants, and that's the critical thing, is that we must make sure that our local authorities are capacitated enough to provide oversight to the consultants. In the vacuum of that oversight, consultants will do their own thing. This is
as government, this is our plan, we must lay the policy, we must lay the direction, we must lay the strategy, and the role of consultants is to ensure that gets implemented. And in the vacuum of good staff at local authority, consultants start taking over policy decisions which should not take the place. And I can categorically confidently say that in the city of Cape Town, we are well staffed internally to provide oversight, and hence we've seen results within the city. But in our submission, Chair, we will provide that breakdown of the implementation cost in terms of what's for consultants. There was a question about best practice. I think I've covered that. There was a very good question about prepayment, member. It's correct. We do have a prepayment off-board system, and that helps with the efficient boarding and alighting. There were specific questions about that. I will note that, and I will get our ops guys to confirm and detail the implications on Slack. So just for time, if you don't mind, if I can put that in the writing. Like the glaring challenges that the honourable member was saying is absolutely a key lesson that we've learned, and I want to call on you. This is quite an important aspect about the taxi industry. I want to make it clear that the key lesson learned is that we can't replace the taxi industry members. They have to be part of the system. The issue that we're picking up currently in phase one is because of that key lesson where we think we can substitute the taxi industry. We cannot. They perform a function that unfortunately the shuttle service will not. And we're not going to pick this up in BRT manuals from the West or BRT manuals from France, because they don't have our on-demand services. So key lesson then is that we can't replace them. And I know you use the word buy out, member. You can't buy them out. It's important that they be part of the system. I'll give you an example. In the week I've had good discussions with, for example, the Noon Taxi Rank, where they say, Gershwin, we got a plan, and you've compensated us, but here's a demand. Your route hasn't responded to a specific demand. We want to run the route because passengers want it. And now, when we run a service, your traffic service impound us because now we haven't got a permit and we can't provide a permit because we compensated that area. We need to find a solution for that. And the city is working with the industry of how do we remedy that in phase one. And that's a complete separate presentation on the member, where we're looking at TOCs, transport operating companies, to ensure that taxis kind of help us fill that gap, which we scheduled service will not be. And that's a key lesson from phase one. That if we try to squeeze the solution all on BRT, you will have the problems that you raise on the member, and we must address them. The key lesson that we've learned in phase one. So you're right, that is a glaring challenge, and it's something that we need to resolve in phase 2A, and we have to fix. And we have, allow me to say, that we have very proactive and progressive taxi industries in the city of Cape Town. They're engaging, and they want to be a part of the system. And our relationship is that we're working together, and we're going to find the solution together. We haven't got the answer yet, but we know where we want to go, and we can't do this on our own. And we've had a two-day summit a couple of weeks back with the taxi industry where they've laid their concerns, and we're starting that dialogue. Page 5 of 11. So in terms of the land use planning, I think that's a separate presentation. That's quite a critical aspect. It takes long. But for me, that is the most important lever to turn this around. And the city is focusing on that, that we need to start getting work opportunities closer to where people stay. We need to get various land use opportunities along the route so that the service can gain profitability by more seats getting utilized. In terms of value for money, there is a separate presentation about what we have spent in terms of capital and how that's been split into infrastructure, consultants, so they've got a whole spreadsheet in front of me and we can provide that information. I know you use the word fruitless expenditure, Honourable Mayor. We have a very, sorry, Honourable Member. We have a strict procurement policy. We abide by the SCM. It is well governed, well structured in the city, and I can say that every single expenditure has been checked and it's according to the MFMA and all the procurement policies. And again, the reports are available, which we can, you know, we can offer. Covered MFMA. In terms of your comments about the mayor, in terms of not enough, I think the key presentation is that graph that you have seen, that if we have the current PTNG funding, and you can see the line was about two-thirds down, it will then push the implementation out. Our business plan and our operational plan that we've prepared suggests the solution. In terms of additional sources of funding to resolve that, to make the implementation for phase two A. That is in the document that you received over the weekend, and that is detailed. And also the city is looking at additional sources of funding. Very interesting about, and I'm going to park here around the infrastructure and whether it's roads or it's. If you remember what I said earlier, Honourable Member, is that a key aspect is speed. If we can ensure that a bus operates at a certain speed, it's going to help every city. And how do I ensure that speed? That I get a lane that is protected. And I'm aware that you can have a lane painted. But in my experience, Honourable Member, our motorists don't. They don't respect the paint line. And our experience is that you have to have a physical barrier to ensure that lane is protected. If you have a paint line, immediately I'm going to increase my enforcement budget to ensure that lane is enforced. So a critical minimum requirement is that if you've got a dedicated lane, it has to be separated. Now if you have, so that's the one thing, a separated lane. Now if you have a bus on a, and sorry for taking so much time, it is quite important. If you have a bus on a asphalt road, what we call a flexi material road, over time, that flexible material, over 4 or 5 years, you're going to have to maintain it again. If you see at some of the intersections where there's a lot of heavy vehicles, you'll see these bubbles in the asphalt road because trucks have over time turned. Now imagine a bus operates in a rut, and over time that asphalt is going to become a problematic, and every 4 or 5 years you're going to have to resurface it. In terms of the concrete and the reinforced concrete, we go back there in the next 20 to 30 years. So although it's a capital cost that we've upfronted, but it's replaced an ongoing operational cost in terms of provision. And I can go on, remember, but it's very important that in terms of provision, in my opinion and in the city's research, there are certain basic things that we have to provide this quality improvement. You saw that stat. Previously it took an hour and a bit for cars, now it's 30 minutes. We have cases in the inner city, Honourable Member, where we have tried the paint and we have got an enforcement problem where cars then slip into the red road, which has caused an accident issue that we raised earlier. So sorry for parking on that, but that's quite a critical aspect, and again we can provide our infrastructure report and I don't mind sitting separately on this. Okay. So then there was a couple of questions around empowerment, SSME. And there was a couple of questions. If you don't mind, Chair, I can provide a detailed report on that. If I can skip that. There was a whole lot of questions about the organogram. We can provide that organogram, Honourable Member, in terms of our structure. I've touched the consultants. The story of the unfinished bridges. We have, if you've seen the test, we have gone out to tender for a project where we're looking at the foreshore freeways as a precinct, not just as a transport project, but as an investment opportunity, how to provide business, how to provide affordable housing, and that's within the tender process right now. I touched on the minibus taxi. The thing about consultation about South Road, you are aware that the court has ruled in our favour, that we have followed a proper consultation process in this regard around South Road. A very important thing that South Road doesn't just link north-south, but it's an important link between those communities that you mentioned, Honourable Member Kailicha, Mitchell's Plain, Niyanga, Anova Park, Pugoletu. Every day they access to Wynberg and Claremont and they sit in congestion. The South Road alignment improves that movement, and that project has been on our cards for years, and the residents were totally aware of this project. We have communicated, and the court found in our favour. Just in terms of Uber, we are not we have not discussed the Uber. It's not about the Uber, but it's the technology. I think what Uber taught us is around the role of technology within the transport network, and we feel that the taxis can play a better role than Uber. That's the area that we are exploring, how we can use technology together with the minibus taxi industry. There was a couple of questions again on the consultants. I note your question about Clyfontein, Stanford and Stellenbosch. I'll prepare a write-up on that, Councillor. Chair, you had a series of questions about the fares. So it's a per kilometre base, Honourable Member, and then around the policy imperatives, totally agree with you. Social inclusion is a important aspect of our plan. Pollution and CO2 reduction, it's quite simple, and we support you about the single ticket. That's a critical critical aspect. And now I lost page 11. Okay. So that's quite an important part. For the last minute, if I could just ask Pete De Grey, there was a critical question about why is the Section 46 gas being so important? If you can just touch on that question, that's quite a critical issue.
Thank you. Just specifically in relation to PTOG and the contracting assignment, in our presentation we've highlighted that the different levels of government are currently responsible for different modes, and in particular in relation to quality bus services or the contracts at Section 46 services. In phase one, essentially we've used Section 41 of the NLTA to provide the MyCity services, which has replaced the existing Section 46 services in that corridor. But we did that without a funding source. Essentially, PTOG is the funding source for Section 46 services. And at the time, the city prepared a detailed business plan for the assignment of the contracting function, which assumed the city would get both the assignment and the PTOG subsidy amount to run those services. Now, the city cannot, in phase 2A, we cannot take on the risk of replacing those Section 46 scheduled services in the phase 2A corridor. We simply cannot afford it, and with the assignment must come the funding source for operation, for paying for the operation of those services. So it's a very important point from both from a funding perspective in terms of Section 46 services and also from an integration perspective. You can imagine the difficulty in trying to coordinate a BRT trunk service and a feeder quality bus service through different contracts where one contract is run by the city and another one is run and administered by the province. We would not be able to achieve fare integration, route and timetable integration, service quality standards, and branding integration unless these are managed by the same level of government and the funding comes with the contracting assignment. So for us, in terms of our planning for phase 2A, it's absolutely critical that the plan, which is provided for in both the NLTA and supported by the Division of Revenue Act conditions, is assigned by the Minister of Transport, and we are requesting, we have kept our recommendations quite economical, but this for us is one of the
the main area that we need assistance in getting the sign off. And then just to elaborate on the PCNG funding, we've seen recently seen a decrease in the allocation to PCNG for across the country, and we felt the impact in Cape Town. But it really, and in response to some of the other questions raised, if we want to fast track rollout to the disadvantaged areas in Khayelitsha and Mitchells Plain and Guguletu and Hanover Park, we need to have a stable funding source that is consistent year on year. And for us to achieve rollout within a reasonable time frame, we can't do it with the existing funding. We've made application for the CFI funding, but it really undermines our ability to plan, to implement, and to roll out services in the next phase if we don't have a stable PPNG allocation. So the assistance we're asking for is really around the grant funding, the PPNG, the PTOG funding, and then the contracting assignments of the Section 46.
Thank you, Chairperson. That's our...
Thank you very much. We will be looking forward that maybe within 32 hours, 5 working days, you can appraise us with the responses. And once more, thank you very much, particularly for the presentation that was sent earlier. Very intense and very, very will assist us going forward. I'm not going to allow these ones on the left to talk. We are behind schedule. The next leaders will not probably be the right leaders. The scrums will just wait here. We thank you. Actually, while Johannesburg Metro will be preparing, I'm going to give you 3 minutes comfort break for them to be able to prepare for their presentation. Thank you very much, Keita.